good day to celebrate our mothers, our wives, and great things that they do in our families. So God bless you. And as I think about that subject this morning, I thought it'd be very fitting for us to look at Sarah, kind of give you a little bit of an introduction with our scripture readings this morning from the beginning of Genesis chapter 12 and the latter half of there of Genesis 12. Some interesting stories there. We see Abraham, his act of faith, and he and his family and his wife going down into the land of Canaan that God has promised to them. And then we see them during the time of famine go down into Egypt and their interaction with the nation of Egypt there. A lot of people have often asked questions about that story. It's like, what is happening there? And so clearly, Abraham's telling a half-truth, or he's pretty much hiding the truth that he thinks is going to preserve his life. And as you look at some of the things Abraham did, he left his home and came down to the land of Canaan because of faith. And we see that same faith manifested in the life of Sarah as well. And so that's where our focus is going to be. Now, we see some other descriptions here about Sarah being very beautiful. And you got to realize Abraham is 75 at this time, and his wife is about 9 years younger than him. So she'd been 66. Now, you also got to put in perspective, Abraham lived to 175, and that those in his time period, you remember they used to live longer ages at that point, and it kept shrinking down little by little. And so what that would be related to as far as age today, maybe more around the age of 50 or something, or in the mid-40s, I don't know. But it's something to think about when you look at this and the events that take place here in the life of Sarah. But when we start thinking about Sarah and her example, what we're going to look at is that her strength comes from her faith. Her trust in God, her belief in God and in His promises. It is God's promises that build us up, that send us in the right direction. And so that we trust in Him and we are loyal to Him because God gives us these amazing promises, these words of encouragement. And some of those things, when you hear about them, at first that might make you laugh. And that comes up in the life of Abraham and Sarah. And so we want to look at that. But first, let's start with Hebrews chapter 11. Remember, Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. And you've got the all those heroes of the faith that are mentioned there, the Hall of Fame, it's often called, of faith. And as you go through, you can go read back through Hebrews 11, and you see them. And one of them mentioned there is Sarah. And so right here, we see this description, by faith, you continue to see that statement. By faith, every one of these individuals acted. They trusted in God. And so it says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. In other words, she could have a child. And she received that by faith because she trusted in God, trusted in the promises, the promise that God made to Abraham that He would make him a great nation. And so the name Abraham means father. And as he took on the name Abraham, it meant the father of many. And so, and Sarah's name meant princess. And she had either a line of royalty because she was born originally with the name of Sarai. And in that covenant that God established, God changed her name to Sarah. But the name still meant the same thing, that she was of some royalty and background. So I think about that, and it helps to give some context here. But again, by faith, Sarah was able to conceive, and she bore a child when she was past the age. She was past the age because she judged him faithful who promised. Now, when you read Genesis, you might be thinking, wait a minute, did she always believe that? Well, it shocked her at first. When she heard that she was going to have a child at her age, she was put back by it. It's like, no, that doesn't sound right. You know, that you see there in the book of Genesis that you got these three men, and it says in the text that one of them is the Lord, and actually makes that promise that in a year from now, Sarah is going to have a child. We'll get to that in a moment. But again, she judged God faithful. She judged God faithful. She trusted in Him. And I think that's an interesting way to state faith. It's that I trust that God is faithful. And I think a lot of people today don't trust God like that. They don't think of Him that way. You hear some peculiar statements. When people have distorted views about God, then they don't believe in Him. When you don't believe in God as you should, you don't have a living faith, and you're not going to be obedient. You're not going to fit into the hall of fame of faith that we see here in Hebrews chapter 11. But she trusted God. And what does she trust? She trusts what He promised. And therefore, it says this, therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead. This is an interesting description of Abraham. Remember, he left at age 75. He's 99 when Isaac is born, and would have been 100 at the time, actually, when he's born. The promise was when he was 99. And were born as many as the stars of the sky and multitude, and innumerable as the sand is, which is by the seashore. That was the promise of God, the blessings to Abraham, and the blessings and promise to Sarah, too. So God gives strength. He gives strength to faithful women. We think about the women in our life, the examples we look to. We think about those mothers or the mother figures in our life. And some women don't always have the blessing to be a mother, but they take on that role. And I've known a lot of women who never had children, but they took on the role of being a mother to so many, whether in teaching school or in Sunday school, just their behavior and the way that they were treating other people. And we need those examples of faithful women. And the Bible even uses Sarah. I'm going to get to this toward the end in 1 Peter chapter 3, talking about how women influence their husbands. Women have a great influence upon men. So we want to encourage and thank God for all the faithful women here this morning. Your example to us, and your example of following our Creator and setting the way in our life in which to live. Again, from that text in Hebrews, we see strength. Sarah had strength. And women have strength by their faith in God and in His promises. So God gives strength to faithful women to do what others would think is impossible. And as Jesus said, is what, you know, what is impossible is not impossible with God. And we think about that. It should be a reality that we see the faithfulness. We see women in our life who are faithful do things that we would not expect, the way that they live and behave. So do you believe, you really believe that God can do that? Can He do what many people think is impossible? And I think that's what shakes a lot of people. They see these promises of God and they think, could God do that? And you think about some of the promises that are given to us. When we are baptized into Christ, the Bible says what? All of our sins are forgiven. Every one of them taken away in Christ. Do you believe those promises? I think that is an easier promise to believe. But as you go along the list, you read about when we're baptized, we receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit, that promise from Him. And what does the Holy Spirit do for us? Well, He strengthens us in the inner spirit, Ephesians 3 and verse 16. And He pours out His love within our hearts, it says in Romans chapter 5. You will see those things. You see those promises in the Bible. But a lot of things the Bible tells us to trust Him in times of distress and tribulation, that God will build us up, that He will help us, that He will give us a peace that surpasses all understanding. And so if you're going through a hard time, and that's the first time you hear that passage in Philippians chapter 4, you might laugh at it. You might think, peace in this time and what I'm going through, what I'm having to endure. Will God give me peace beyond my own understanding, beyond my own thinking? And those who are mature in their faith, as we grow, we come to experience that and say, that's true. I have a peace beyond understanding. And some of the other promises. There's some promises that people doubt today, maybe the resurrection, that Christ rose from the dead so that we would rise from the dead. Those are promises of God that have been given to us, that if we believe in them, they change our lives and they shape us in our obedience toward Him. So let's go to Genesis. We're going to read a little bit more about Sarah and her example. But first, let's look at Abraham here in the context of what's going to happen here. So in Genesis chapter 17, God said to Abraham, God says this, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. And then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. And that's an interesting statement because we know Sarah, trying to help this process along, gives her a handmaid to Abraham to have a child by Hagar, by her. And so we would say, well, doesn't that show a lack of her faith? And I would think in some ways it does, but that never broke their faith with God. They knew God was going to do it. They just didn't know exactly how all the time. But it seems to me clearly here that he said, I'm going to do this by your wife. And at a certain point, she had given up on that. And then it says, then Abraham fell on his face and he laughed. And I'm pointing that out there because we're going to see again what Sarah does. And he said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And again, he's 99 at this time, but in a year from now, he'd be 100. And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And so again, he's thinking about Ishmael of Hagar and that the blessings would come through him. That was their plan and how they tried to set it up. And God says, it's not how it's going to be. So Genesis 17, 19 and following. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, so Ishmael's not left out of this. It's not like God is going to allow this woman, Hagar, to be cast aside. God says, as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. And he shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. It's the same thing that eventually would happen through Jacob, that 12 princes of 12 tribes. He says, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. So you think about these things that God promises us sometimes that we think, how is that possible? That's never happened. Should I believe in this? But as you continue, we increase in our faith, God blesses us. He gives grace to those who trust in him. And so at first, we might laugh at some of these things. But all because Abraham laughed, and what we're going to see, Sarah also laughs at this, that doesn't break their covenant with God. That doesn't break them off from faithfulness of God. That doesn't stop God's promises to them. And we see here, again, that the faithful, we see these things, that amazing things that God does, and we stand in awe. We stand in awe. So, to add to that context, when the Lord is speaking to Abraham personally. It says here in Genesis 18, and he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And so you'll be restored in your health. Sarah was listening in the tent of the door, which was behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were old and well advanced in age. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. And therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. And so notice that description there. She calls Abraham Lord. That comes up again in another scripture. And because that's who he is and his role in life. But Sarah laughs at this, and she says, am I going to have pleasure now? Am I going to have the blessings now that God has promised to me? It seems past the time. It seems impossible. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's the point, isn't it? The God, the Creator who made everything, nothing's too hard for him. And so when we read those promises, we read in the scriptures, we look at the New Testament, we see what Christ has promised us, and we read the scriptures, we want to be faithful to him and realize there's nothing too hard for the Lord. As we read here, it says, at the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. It's that interesting story about their character. These are not perfect people we read about in the scriptures. And I think some people think, and they put a lot of pressure on themselves. If I'm going to be a Christian, I need to be perfect in every way. No, you're going to sin. That's why you became a Christian in the first place. And we're going to stumble. And we're not going to be perfect. But what we can be is faithful. We can be faithful. And we can encourage those around us to trust in God. And that even when we stumble, we return to him for his forgiveness and his mercy. But God's promises, they change how we trust in him, how we believe in him. And I thank God for his promises. I love reading through the scriptures. The promises help us to be faithful, to love Him, to keep His commandments. And if you don't know His promises and you're not looking forward to them, then you're going to have a hard time trusting Him. You're going to have a hard time having the kind of obedient, living faith that will bless your life and make your life so much better. A little bit further in Genesis, we read this in Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had spoken. God said it, and He promised it, and there's not a promise of God that has been broken. When God promised people of Israel there's a Messiah coming, He kept that promise. When God promises us the blessings of the kingdom and the eternal kingdom and everlasting life, it will not be broken. We just need to be faithful. And so we look to the example of Sarah as she becomes a mother here. It says, for Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time at which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And then Abraham circumcised his son when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh. So she reflects back on that. She says, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. This peculiar thing, this thing that's never been heard of, she says in her old age, she laughs. And she looks upon that as an example in a time of her life. And God does some things in our life that humbles us, that puts us in our place. All of our life, God puts us in places to where we are humble before Him to recognize His glory and His power, that we rely and trust in Him. And so the text says, and she also said, Sarah says, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. She rejoices over this. She's happy about it. God has blessed her, and her faith has increased. She's been strengthened by her faith that God can do these things. God promised what was laughable, and He often does. He'll promise things that most of the world might laugh at us and mock us about. Oh, you believe that you're going to live forever. You believe in everlasting life. You believe that you can be forgiven of sins, that you don't have to bear guilt in this life. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They might laugh and scoff and mock. And at first time when we hear these things, we hear some of the things that happen in the Bible, they're humorous. But when we trust in God, we see that no matter the circumstance, He keeps His promises. And Proverbs is a beautiful, beautiful scripture, I think, fitting for today. And a very good description of Sarah and other women that we read about in the Bible, and the women that we know who are faithful, a virtuous woman. And Proverbs 31 says this, who can find a virtuous woman? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, and so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's a fitting description of Sarah. It's a fitting description of so many Christian women who trust in God and trust in His promises. There are a number of references in the New Testament to Sarah. And one that stands out here is in 1 Peter chapter 3. And 1 Peter chapter 3. And here, as Peter is giving instruction toward women, he gives this instruction. He says, do not let your adornment, don't let your clothing and your appearance be merely outward, arranging of hair and wearing of gold or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now, those descriptions there, very fitting for a description of every faithful woman, especially of Sarah. And the scripture says, for in this manner, at former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, such as Sarah, being submissive to their own husbands. They humbled themselves before them. And as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, we just saw that before, she called him Lord. And I've heard some men humorously tell their wives, now I want you to do what Sarah did and call me Lord. Well, you don't hold that position, probably. Abraham did hold that position. He had 318 fighting men in Genesis chapter 14 that fought with him. He moved in like a small town, a massive caravan of 2,000 plus people that would have been growing since the time that he came down from Haran. He was fitting of the title of Lord because that's what his position was. And his wife recognized that. She didn't degrade him. She didn't dismiss it. She didn't think of herself superior to him. And as a holy woman who trusted in God, she listened to him and followed his leadership. And the scripture says, "Whose daughters you are if you do good," and listen to this, "and are not afraid with any terror." Now, remember, we read that passage before when Sarah laughed. It said she was afraid. But in this, throughout her life and her faith in God, she did do good and did good to her husband. And she was not afraid. She put her trust throughout her life when she traveled and followed Abraham into a foreign land and did what he instructed her to do. There are examples of this in Scripture, but this is one that stands out to me from Peter, talking about Sarah and her example. And while God's promises again may cause us to laugh, the faithful trust in all of his promises. Trust in God's promises. Seek them out. Read your Bible looking for them. And let's learn to follow the example, the model of faithful women. And 1 Peter 3 also tells us that husbands can be won over by their wives. Even if they don't believe the word, they can be won over there. You look back in 1 Peter 3, 1 through 2, by their wives' holy conduct and by their behavior. By the way that they live, by their faithfulness, by their trust in God. So be thankful for faithful women, their example to us. We learn from faithful women where to find strength. It is in faith. It is in believing in all of God's promises. As we finish, this passage not from Genesis, actually from Galatians. I think a very fitting invitation. Galatians 3, 26 to 29. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We're all heirs," he's saying, "all children of God. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There we are adorned by Christ. And therefore neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, you are his seed, and heirs according to the promise." Heirs according to the promise. I want to be heirs according to the promise. We encourage you this morning, believe in all of God's promises. He offers you a forgiveness of sins. He offers you everlasting life. You can be born again of the water and the Spirit this morning, having confessed your sins and having repented. Having confessed that Jesus is Lord, that he risen from the dead, repented of your sins, dying to your old self, being buried in water, you can begin a new life. You can rise to newness of life. We encourage you this morning. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, do so. You need prayers and encouragement of any kind, we want to pray with you. Let's stand and sing together.